When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two with yours truly, Jack Hillgrove, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Follow me on Twitter at JackWTOV9. At WTOV9, my TV station, I have a podcast called Jacked Up. The latest episode just dropped a couple of minutes ago on the WTOV9 YouTube channel with yours truly and 93.7 The Fan Zone, Donnie Football, breaking down the Steelers' loss in Indianapolis. If you want to check that out, just search for WTOV9 on YouTube and you'll see me and you'll see Donnie. Another person who's been on that podcast now joins us right now on the fan hotline. It's Nick Faribault of PennLive.com joining the program. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick, as always, thanks for taking some time out of your evening to talk some ball. First thing I'll ask you, Davante Adams coming to the Steelers potentially. I mean, Davante Adams requests a trade reportedly. It seems like the asking price is a second round pick and maybe some other assets, but a $44 million cap hit next year than the year after. Is that feasible right now for the Steelers? Or do you think that's something the Steelers might be interested in, bringing a guy like that to Pittsburgh?
I think they'd be interested in it. And because the reason I think that is because they inquired about him this summer when they were inquiring about every single receiver under the sun and proceeded to acquire none of them. But, you know, he was part of that. And here's the thing, you know, about the cap hits in future years. Like, he's going to be cut if that contract is not reworked after this year. He's a great player still, but no one is taking on that large a cap hit for a wide receiver entering his age 32, 33 season. So basically what we're going to have here with the trade, almost certainly, Jack, is you are going to trade for Davante Adams and then rework his contract. So that is almost certainly what will happen. I think any team that will acquire him want to do that so they can keep him beyond this year. Otherwise, he's an 8-game, 9-game rental, right? And so, you know, you talk about the perceived value that that Las Vegas has of him, which is a second plus some, which probably more means a third round pick, more likely, if you want to use translation for that. Then you're going to want to have that guy, you know, be there for more than just 8 games. You're not trading, you know, a third round, second round pick for 8 games of Davante Adams, unless, you know, you're a team that really, really thinks you're a Super Bowl contender right away. I don't think the Steelers are in that stratosphere yet to do that. So it does make sense for them if they could rework that contract. They could fit it under this year. They could certainly rework that contract, lower the cap hit, spread it out, and do some different things with that. And he's the type of player they need, man. We've been talking about the wide receiver two problem they've had all offseason, and he would be a great addition to their room. He is exactly what they need across from George Pickens.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, thought that maybe the problem would get worked out as the games start to get played. You know, we assessed it in training camp, like who's going to be the wide receiver too. They don't really have one through 4 games. I think that's pretty black and white. I'll ask you a couple of probability questions as it pertains to him. The first one, there was a trade thrown out there. I forget but I saw it on X. A pick and Najee Harris for Davante Adams. Is that even likely that maybe Najee Harris would be involved in a trade like that?
I mean, I you can't rule it out. It does make sense from a few perspectives, and one being it is a need for the Raiders. They do need a running back. From that perspective, it makes sense. From the other perspective of the Steelers still really need him because Cordarrelle Patterson, Jaylen Warren are not healthy. No, it doesn't. But he hasn't played that well this year so far. He's not really a great fit for Arthur Smith's scheme, so it makes sense to some respects. But I have a hard time feeling like the Steelers would detract from any group on the offense that has any group of weaponry on it. I really do. I don't think they trade Najee Harris just because of that. You know, and not only that, they do want to bring him back after this year. I think that's in earnest. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to. I would predict him to walk. But I think they are very honest and open when they say they want him back. I think that is true. So I think he's a player they like. But if he, you know, they need to push him over the finish line, like say, you know, they're with the Jets and the Commanders and all these other teams, and they need something to distinguish themselves, maybe that's what it is. But I'm not even sure how much value Najee Harris has in that trade scenario, just because, again, final year of the contract, right? It's just, it's, when you are diminished value, especially for a team like the Raiders, it hurts kind of your overall trade value. So we'll see. I can't rule it out, but it wouldn't be what I expect the trade to be. I would expect the trade to just be like picks straight up.
Nick Fairbaugh, Steelers writer for PennLive.com. He's on the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So the other question I'll flat out ask you, Nick, you know, if you had to maybe graded on a scale of 1 to 10, Davante Adams to Pittsburgh, how likely do you think it is?
Probably like a 3. And the only reason I think that is, it's not because the Steelers aren't willing to do it. I just look at other teams in the picture. Like, come on, the Jets are just screaming here,
yes,
right? Like, they really are. I know, you know, like, Ayuk was a similar thing where the Steelers kind of had the chess pieces fall almost perfectly for Ayuk. And then obviously the 49ers were able to work that out. But in this case, man, they're going to have competition. Like, think about it. You look at teams that are going to want him, the Jets, the Commanders. I know they're in the division, but I know the Chiefs are going to try and pry him out of their hands. There's other teams outside of that. You know, the Ravens are probably going to put in a call about him. There are just going to be teams that want him, probably the Lions even. Like, these are all going to be teams that are probably going to be willing to pay up. And the Steelers, in that Ayuk scenario, kind of had it fall into their lap that they were the last team standing because Ayuk wanted to go there, right? It wasn't necessarily because they were offering the most for Ayuk. They didn't offer more than the Browns or the Patriots. And so if they're willing to pay up the cost, maybe. I'm not so sure they will be, though. And so I think, you know, the Jets are also probably, if I were to guess right now, who Davante Adams told, you know, the GM of the Raiders, Tom Telesco, where he wants to go. I mean, I think the Jets would easily be a one on his list, right? So I think 3, just because I'm not sure the Steelers are going to be able to beat out the competition for him. Now, I do think they'll end up landing a receiver at the deadline. I'm not sure it's going to be Davante Adams.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with my next question for you. Are there a couple of names maybe you have in mind as the trade deadline approaches? I believe it's November 5th at 4 p.m.?
Yeah, I think it might be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the first week of November. And the Steelers, looking at teams that are losing right now, I think there are some interesting candidates. If you look at the Panthers, I do think Adam Thielen is a name to know. You know, he's out with the hamstring injury, but the Panthers are going to be like the one true team just all across their team. They're just going to be in sale mode, right? They're going to sell, you know, they're going to sell probably everybody. Deontay Johnson, Matt Thielen, Andy Dalton even. Like,
boy, Deontay Johnson coming back would be something.
Yeah, well, they apparently, you know, the rule is this week, there was a rule that Ian Rappaport reported this week that apparently you can't acquire a guy that you traded away for basically 2 years. So, like, Hassan Reddick can't go from the Jets to the Eagles. And so the Steelers could not trade for Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
That actually can't happen. The Thielen makes sense. I think DeAndre Hopkins is a really interesting name to throw around. You know, Titans are not very good. And he's an intriguing name to think about. I think he'd fit them perfectly. If the Jaguars keep sliding down, Christian Kirk could be a name that is a little bit of a sleeper. The Giants aren't very good right now. Darius Slayton makes some sense. He's a vet in the final year of his deal. The Broncos are somehow 2-2, but Cortland Sutton is still going to be a name I'm going to throw out there. The Dolphins right now are not very good. And I don't think they'd trade him because they just signed him to a contract. But Tyreek Hill's contract is very tradable if that did come up. So there are definitely options that are going to be out there for the Steelers. Some of these guys are going to be out on the trade block if they can't get Davante Adams. So, you know, even the Raiders, if the Raiders decide that they want to just go on a full fire sale, I mean, Jacoby Myers, the other wide receiver that they have, is a very solid wide receiver that the Steelers could even inquire about. So there's a lot of options for them.
He's Nick Faribault of PennLive.com covering the Steelers. Does a great job. All right, typically, like Mike Tomlin says, he likes to focus on the players in the room. So let's focus on those said players in the room. And we'll start at running back. Running the ball as a running back, obviously very difficult for the Steelers last week. Najee Harris struggled. Cordarrelle Patterson looked to be making some headway. He gets hurt. Jaylen Warren's health is in question. Where do you see maybe a Jaylen Warren return this week? How likely that is? Maybe Cordarrelle Patterson's injury status as well. Where do the Steelers stand right now in the backfield?
Well, I think the Jaylen Warren stuff is how can he be healthy 100%. You know, his hamstring wasn't fully healthy when he got hurt. The knee is a separate issue, but the hamstring wasn't fully healed. I don't think the knee issue is, like, super concerning. I don't think it's something, you know, that is going to keep him out a significant amount of time. In fact, I think he probably could have played last week if it was a playoff game. It's just going to be, you know, do they want to keep him on the sidelines so he gets the burst back, his explosiveness? I think we would all agree when you watched him through the first 3 weeks, like, he just didn't look the same, right? He didn't have the explosiveness. He didn't have the suddenness in his movements. So I'm not completely certain that he'll play this week. I think he might need another week off to fully get healthy. Patterson is kind of an interesting case. You know, seems to be okay. We'll see. Again, I don't think that's something like super concerning. Might be like a 1 or 2 weeker, but they'll see how he responds. But I think that the Steelers, from what I think is going to happen, are definitely going to bring up at least one, not, or maybe two running backs from the practice squad this week. It could be both Shamplin and Ward. Jonathan Ward's probably the likeliest guy to come up this week just because of his burst and his speed. And he kind of replicates what Cordarrelle Patterson can do and what Jaylen Warren can do more than Shamplin can do. Because last week they brought up Shamplin because they needed some of the special teams help. They needed some of the extra utility help that he brought to the table. Ward can do a little bit more of a true running back sense. So I definitely could see Jonathan Ward coming up either way if one of those guys is out. So something to keep an eye on. I don't think you're going to see both of them out there. Would not surprise me if one of the two plays. I think they're going to be conservative with both of them, though, just because it's early in the year. And you know, both of them are going to be really key for the Steelers down the stretch.
The offensive line, obviously injury-ridden like crazy to start the season. Nate Herbig and then Troy Faltanu and now James Daniels with an unfortunate Achilles injury. They add Max Sharping off of the Commanders practice squad to the 53-man roster. Where should Steelers fans' concern be right now with the health and the overall quality of players available on the offensive line?
I think you have to be concerned. Now, listen, they have a lot of depth relative to most teams on the offensive line, so it's not a complete disaster where you're pressing the red alert button. But they've lost a lot of talent. Nate Herbig, you know, their top interior swing piece. Troy Faltanu, promising rookie that was playing really well. James Daniels, their best offensive lineman through 4 weeks. I mean, that is significant to lose. Now, I'm excited to see Mason McCormick. I am. I think he had some promising things to build off of against Indianapolis. I think he's a fun player. I think he's a really athletic people mover. The consistency is a little wild, but he's a fourth-round rookie, so not really that surprised at seeing that. But I think he has a guy – he's a guy that, like, the arrow is pointing significantly up for throughout the year, the more he plays. Frazier's played very well. Siamalo is going to be back this week. That's what is going to be a huge boost. You know, I know losing James Daniels is going to be a huge loss, but just as much as he is a huge loss, Isaac Siamalo is going to be just a massive boost to them on the left side. You know, even though Dan Moore has been pretty decent, honestly, at some points this year. He and Siamalo on the left side are going to be able to clear some lanes in the run game. And then they need more consistency out of Broderick Jones. That's something that can be fixed. Like, Broderick Jones needs to be more consistent. We have seen his play. He has reps where he's awesome, and then he has reps where he, you know, he loses his mind, and it's just like, what are you doing? So, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad situation just yet. It's tough, though. One more injury. Like, they are one injury away from being like, okay, this is like a huge, huge issue. Right now, they could probably skate by and get by. If they keep these same five in there for the rest of the year, McCormick will get better. Jones theoretically will get better. Frazier will get better. They should be okay. But if someone else gets hurt on this line, I mean, they're in for a real world of hurt at that point, because they've lost a lot of players, man. Like, even their depth tackle, Dylan Cook, is on injured reserve right now with that foot injury. And so they've lost a lot of guys. Their luck on the O-line has not been favorable.
Yeah, and as they turn their attention to Dallas this week, I mean, you know, every matchup in the week or in the NFL is tough, especially when you might have some guys hurt on the offensive line. But Dallas is hurting as well, and this offensive line could see potentially a Dallas defense that doesn't include DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. What do you make of what Dallas brings to the table so far? I guess we'll start as far as the Cowboys' defense matching up with the Steelers' offense.
It's interesting because the Cowboys' defense definitely has attackable areas for the Steelers' offense. And you talk about that front, right? DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons out. But, you know, you can even talk about how Deron Bland is out. He's on IR right now with that foot injury. And he hasn't played this year. It doesn't really sound like he's going to be back. Now, they'll have a rookie, Caitlin Carson, out of Wake Forest that's probably going to be back this week. He missed last week with an injury. But it's not a particularly fast defense. It's not a particularly dangerous defensive line without Parsons and Lawrence. Now, they have some ball hawks in the secondary. You know, Trayvon Diggs is obviously very dangerous. He's a ball hawk. They have veteran presence in the middle there with Eric Kendricks. But, like, the team's speed on this defense is not great. So you should be able to exploit some of that. George Pickens should be able to kind of do some things. I'm not sure they really have anyone that can truly contain what Justin Fields brings to the table on the ground. It's a pretty good matchup for the Steelers. Like, this is not a good defense, personnel-wise or what they put out on tape. This team should be able to be ran on. That's a big thing. They should be able to run the ball and not just run the ball for 40 times, or, you know, 120 yards where they just kind of nail it to the hammer and just kind of force it. Like, they should be able to really run the ball with efficiency in this game. And so that's something that I think you want to see. You want to see the offensive line be able to move guys. Because, again, the interior of this Cowboys defensive line is not very good anyways. Even before the injuries, they weren't very good. So, yeah, I think that's going to be something that they can definitely take care of.
Talking Steelers with Penn Live beat reporter Nick Farabaugh. On the flip side, Nick, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb on the Cowboys offense. I know Mike Tomlin was very complimentary of Prescott in Tomlin's presser earlier today. But, you know, from a Steelers perspective, I think the secondary has played pretty darn well. So how do you think the Steelers secondary, i.e. Dante Jackson, Joey Porter Jr., matches up with Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb and obviously Dak Prescott trying to get those guys the ball?
Yeah, like, I do think theoretically the Steelers match up fine against this offense. For one, Dallas is one-dimensional. They do not run the ball very well at all. They don't really have an answer at running back. This is the week they elevate Dalvin Cook and he finds, you know, the fountain of youth or something, but that's not something they've done yet. Zeke Elliott hasn't really looked good. Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn have been, like, fine, but they're nothing, you know, they're nothing kind of to be dangerous, kind of be scared by, at least. Now, the Steelers, if they get beat in this game, are going to get beat by two men, and it's going to be Dak and it's going to be CeeDee Lamb. It's like CeeDee Lamb kind of always gets his. There's, like, crazy stats. Like, I think he has, like, so many games with 4-plus receptions and so many games with, like, more than 60 receiving yards. So this is a guy that kind of gets his, and they'll probably get a play or two against the Steelers just because, you know, they're uber talented. Like, CeeDee Lamb's a top three receiver in this league. You could do so much to try and take him away, and he still makes plays. Dak Prescott's a very, very good quarterback. But it's not an offensive line that should be able to dominate the Steelers' defensive line. I think when you saw what they struggled with against the Colts. Like, the Colts have probably the most underrated offensive line in football. I don't feel like a lot of people look at Indianapolis and think great O-line. And then you look at the names and you look at how they performed. Like, you look at a guy like Will Fries on that line. You're like, who is Will Fries? He's been one of the best guards in football all year. You know, Bernard Raymond, he's been really good. You don't really see that on that Cowboys line, right? They lost Tyron Smith. Tyler Guyton's a rookie and hasn't been very good so far. Like, they've been struggling over there in Dallas. And so this defensive line should be able to get to Dak. The secondary is good enough, I think, to neutralize Brandon Cooks. It's not really an innovative offense like Shane Steichen's is. You know, Steichen uses motion and uses RPO game and uses all these other things in the modern scheme that can kind of destroy the Steelers' scheme at times. Mike McCarthy kind of just plays static football. You don't really see much motion. You don't really see a ton of manipulation. It's kind of straight up my guys versus your guys. And, like, the Steelers, I think, just have better guys on that defensive side of the football. Now, outside of, you know, the Lamb and Dak, you do have Jake Ferguson and Brandon Cooks, who are solid players. I think Jalen Tolbert has had some nice flashes as well. But the Steelers should be able to theoretically control this game on both sides of the football. They match up well against Dallas. So this should be a game they win.
Last question I have for you, it has to do with the quarterbacks. Kind of the same rhetoric, same speak from Tomlin this week. You know, we'll ramp Russ up, we'll see where we are, and let the participation dictate their decision. But it sounds like the Steelers fans should prepare for another week of Justin Fields. When does it get to the point, Nick, where, you know, Justin Fields becomes the hot hand and becomes the guy until, you know, God forbid he gets hurt or the wheels fall off the wagon and you go to a guy like Russell Wilson? Like, what else does Justin Fields have to show?
I'm not sure he has to show anything else. I think we might be at that point. I just think, you know, it's about being diplomatic. It's about doing the right things with a veteran who everyone respects. Russ commands respect, and you don't want to kind of just throw the guy by the wayside, you know, like you could. And Mike Tomlin's been through stuff like this before. Mike Tomlin knows how to handle those things. These are, you know, quarterback switches, decisions don't just affect one position, right? Like, it's one thing to switch right guards. It's one thing to switch starting corners. It's one thing to switch a starting linebacker. It's a completely different thing to switch starting quarterbacks. And, like, I just think he's being very cautious with it. We saw some of the mess that can happen when you switch quarterbacks last year and everything that can kind of happen there. So I think he's just walking on eggshells. And so if he keeps playing well, if he keeps doing what he's been doing, Justin Fields is probably going to be the starter. Like, you can't take Justin Fields out right now. I mean, it's really not that complicated. Like, everyone has watched what Justin Fields has done on the football field, and even you probably have some reservations about what you've seen, but you've also had some exciting moments. He's played probably way better than anyone thought he would play, and so you just can't take him out. It really is that simple. So I think as long as Justin keeps playing well and doesn't just have an absolutely dreadful game against Dallas, I think we're going to be there. I don't think Russ is going to be fully healthy until, you know, Vegas week, but I also certainly think that we are on track to Justin Fields getting that starting job either way. And it will take Justin, you know, a bad game or two before he kind of gets benched down by Mike Tomlin.
Nick Faribault, he covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. You can check him out there. Follow him on Twitter as well. Nick, you're the man. Thanks for taking some time, and I'll see you on Sunday, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jack, as always. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. One of the best in the biz for being as young as we are in this business. So kudos to Nick, and thanks for coming on. All right, coming up, we'll react to some of the stuff that he said. I have a couple of points that he made that I would like to talk about, especially when it comes to what Dallas brings to the table. We'll also talk more about the quarterbacks and whatever the hell you guys want to talk about. The phone lines are open at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We are vibing. TV number one. Well, I guess TV on the right here in the studio, whatever you want to call it. Getting ready for Braves pods. TV on the left. Penguins, Red Wings preseason action. The Pens and Detroit tied at one. And the graphic right now on Sportsnet Pittsburgh shows the Pens out shooting the Red Wings 25-8 in preseason action at PPG Paints Arena. Hockey season right around the corner. Can't say that I'm too optimistic about our Penguins, unfortunately. Oh, that's right. Another thing that's the NHL jerseys, Joel Nelson, flipped to Fanatics. They're no longer Adidas brand anymore, so they have the Fanatics F as the jersey sponsor, which is just weird. Because when you think of like professional sports, you think of the uniforms being name brand uniforms, and I'm not necessarily sure that Fanatics fits that bill.
It's certainly something weird, I'll tell you that much.
It'll take a little bit to get used to. We'll see about the Pens this year, but right now we're talking Steelers, and if you want to talk about the black and gold, feel free to chime in on the fan hotline at 412-928-9370. Fan text line, that is also the number for that. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. It's a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter, also brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Talking about the Steelers and talking about a potential trade for a second wide receiver. And this is something I think, in speaking as a fan and speaking as somebody that can to you right now, I think this is, comes as no surprise that the Steelers have a hilariously drastic need for a second wide receiver. You look at the stats, and you look at the stat column for the first four games of the season. 37 receptions. You can even lump Najee into that. 47 receptions between George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and Najee Harris. The remaining 30 are split between eight guys. Scotty Miller's got two grabs. Van Jefferson, 5 for 36 yards. Calvin Austin, who's shown flashes, got the long touchdown against the Chargers. To me, Calvin Austin's a guy could be really good as wide receiver 3. And when Roman Wilson finally gets a helmet and finally has the opportunity to make his NFL debut, I think that's kind of the mold he fits as well. You know, we had high hopes, or at least I had high hopes, for Van Jefferson coming into this year. In 2021, he had 800 yards and 6 touchdowns with the Rams. But like last year, 12 catches for 101 yards with Arthur Smith in Atlanta. You know, I think a lot of people thought maybe that there was an opportunity here for him to be a little bit more productive, but in an Arthur Smith offense last year, he wasn't. And he's kind of on pace for a similar type of season with the Steelers this year, something of the likes that we saw last year with Allen Robinson. Steelers have needs at that position, and there's a trade deadline coming up. It's November 5th at 4 o'clock, and it's an opportunity for the Steelers to go out and get a receiver that can help this team win ball games. Nick Faribault from PennLive.com cited a couple of guys. The biggest fish I think that he named was DeAndre Hopkins. Because Tennessee, we're going to get to a point, I think, with the Titans where Mason Rudolph will be quarterbacking that team. As Will Levis, that interception, I don't know, Joel, if you saw it last night in the clip of him, everybody tried to read the lips of him saying, "I didn't even see that guy." I was one of the more bad interceptions I've seen in a really long time. I think the jury's kind of out on Will Levis. I think Tennessee might be turning to our old pal Mason here in a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit sooner.
That interception was, I mean, directly to the defensive lineman of Miami. It's almost as if he was the intended target for Will Levis, and he said he didn't even see him.
Yeah, so I think you're getting to the point in Tennessee where they might be sellers at the deadline. DeAndre Hopkins is a name that Nick threw around. Another one that the one that I would not like is Adam Thielen. Age there a concern, and I think he would only kind of be a step up from a guy like Van Jefferson, what we're seeing out of Van Jefferson so far with the Steelers. Now, Adam Thielen kind of found the fountain of youth last year. I had him in fantasy last year with the Panthers, and he was actually pretty darn good. But so far this year, I mean, it could be father time catching up to Thielen. Last year, he had 1,000 yards, 100 receptions. But so far this year, 8 for 109 and a touchdown. That's a name, 34. And, of course, he's hurt. So if he comes off of IR by the deadline, a name that they could toss around there. But at 34 years old, I don't know how much that would help the Steelers and more so elevate the Steelers' wide receivers core. A name that I think they should kick the tires on. And call me crazy if you must, because I think it would be quite the heavy haul, is DJ Moore. If you watch DJ Moore's body language so far in Chicago, him and Caleb Williams are not on the same page whatsoever. DJ Moore looks frustrated. DJ Moore looks PO'd to be playing with Caleb Williams. Now, of course, that can all change, but we could get to a point maybe where DJ Moore requests a trade. Cheaper option than Devontae Adams. The base salary on DJ Moore next year is only $20.6 million. And he's under contract through 2029, and the base only goes up as high as $23.485. So an opportunity there, maybe more of a financial opportunity there for the Steelers than Devontae Adams. And if you remember correctly, DJ Moore very much advocated for Justin Fields throughout the season last year when the topic came up of, you know, the Bears are probably going to have the number one pick. Do they stick with Fields or do they draft Caleb Williams? And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, but if you remember seeing the same video clip I saw, DJ Moore said that he thought Justin Fields was better than Caleb Williams in that soundbite, if you remember correctly. Now, that was when Caleb Williams was still in college, and the opinion could have changed on that point, but right now I think Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams is. Caleb Williams is struggling so far. So there's a relationship there. I think Justin Fields would be all for it. I think DJ Moore would be all for it. The question is, though, and it's how much it would cost, and it might be a little bit more than a second-round pick that reportedly the Raiders would be asking for Devontae Adams. So that's my guy. If this team is serious about winning and getting more out of the wide receivers room and trying to elevate this team into a team that can win a playoff game and make a run, as we all, as Steelers fans, want them to, I think DJ Moore would be a guy that would fit well with George Pickens, play well with Justin Fields. Those two connected for some big-time plays in Chicago. And I think it could work out well for the Steelers. And the big question, of course, is what would it cost? And it might cost a lot. Might even require a first-round pick. Because you look at DJ Moore, and the trade that sent him from Carolina to Chicago included two first-round picks and a 2023 second-round pick. The trade was DJ Moore and a 2025 second and a 2024 first for a 2023 first, two 2023 firsts, and then a second-round pick as well. So that's a hot... A lofty trade that put him in a Bears uniform. I think it would take maybe not one as big, but something similar. But that would be my guy. That would be a name that I would like. Another one too, Courtland Sutton. It's Courtland Sutton. They kicked the tires on him as far as a trade situation. But it, you know, at the time, the Broncos weren't willing to part with him. Different story now with the way that the Broncos season is going. Could potentially be sellers at the deadline. If you have an opinion on it, let me know at 412-928-9370. You can tweet me at JackWTOV9. Brandon in Ohio wants to talk Steelers. What's up, Brandon?
Hello.
You doing, man?
You're a pretty good person.
Thanks, man. What's on your mind?
About, did the Steelers win a Super Bowl?
You think the Steelers can win the Super Bowl?
Did the Steelers win a Super Bowl before?
The Steelers have won six Super Bowls, Brandon.
What's the most recent Super Bowl they win?
What's that?
What's the most recent Super Bowl they won?
They won Super Bowl 43, Super Bowl 40, and then 9, 10, 13, and 14.
Six Super Bowls.
Yep.
And... You're a good person. I like you.
Well, thanks, Brandon. Thanks for listening, man. And thanks for tuning in to 93.7 The Fan, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Six-time Super Bowl champs are the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been a while since they played in one, of course, Super Bowl 45, the last time we saw the black and gold in a Super Bowl, losing to Aaron Rodgers. And if you ask me, I think Aaron Rodgers will have Devontae Adams when it's all said and done. I don't know where you... If you had to bet on it right now, Joel, you think Devontae ends up in a Jets uniform. I think that's the obvious choice. I think that's what everybody thinks. But to me, I think Aaron Rodgers will advocate too much for it and has too much of a say on what goes on with Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. I think Devontae ends up a Jet.
Boy, it sure seems like it, you know? And there were some trade rumors and stuff about that before he went to the Raiders and even part of last year. And this offseason, there was some talk about if he could end up being a New York Jet and getting back with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, the Jets are off to a decent start this season. They've had some struggling seasons. It seems like they'll be a playoff team if Aaron Rodgers is healthy all season. Same for Garrett Wilson and all the big-time pieces on their defense and the running game with Breece Hall. And they only get better with Devontae Adams. There might be some people who think that maybe the Jets are a borderline playoff team. Not sure yet, but a lot of people could be convinced that the Jets can sneak their way into the playoffs with one more really good weapon like Devontae Adams.
Wouldn't that be something if the Steelers saw Devontae Adams twice in back-to-back weeks? I mean, it could happen. You've got Dallas this week. Steelers go to Vegas on October the 13th. And then you got the Jets back on Sunday Night Football on the 20th. Something tells me that they will see Devontae Adams. And if I had to bet on it, I would venture to guess it'll be the 20th against the Jets rather than Vegas on the 13th. I think that trade happens sooner rather than later. Will it be to the Steelers? No, I don't think so. But we shall see. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we're going to flip the script and we're going to talk some Pitt football with Stephen Thompson, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette beat writer for the Panthers. Told Stephen, too, that I wanted to sneak in some basketball Pitt hoops. We're close to a month out from the Pitt basketball opener against Radford. I believe that's November the 4th. An intriguing schedule for the Panthers this year. A big or an SEC-ACC challenge with Mississippi State. They'll play LSU and another Power 6 team in the Greenbrier at the end of November. Ohio State, a home and home. It starts on the road this year. And, of course, the backyard brawl with Pitt and West Virginia on November the 15th. And, obviously, a very tough ACC schedule as well. The ACC schedule for the Panthers just came out as well. Talk maybe a little bit about that with Steven. But, of course, the big topic is Pitt coming off of the bye, trying to get a win in North Carolina, trying to get to 5-0 and 1-0 in the ACC, and it's going to be a tall task because they've never won in Chapel Hill. So we'll get Steven's thoughts on that at 9 o'clock. Before the break, another phone call on the Steelers. It's Mr. Old School. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, my guy? Doing all right?
Yeah, how about you?
Doing well. Hey, the Steelers, I would love to get Devontae Adams in here and, you know, with Justin Fields. I think it would be good. My concern is that he's a high-priced rental, right? And I don't know why. I want to know what the issue is with Roman Wilson. I mean, I understand he's a rookie, but he was there through training camp. Well, and to say he's coming up to par. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, no, he really wasn't. He had an unfortunate injury that sidelined him for pretty much. He was practiced for, if I remember correctly, like the first week, and then was out for pretty much the remainder of training camp. So he's hurt. And anytime, you know, a rookie misses out on those reps in camp, you want to handle that delicately. And I think for the most part, he's still injured. But, you know, he hasn't had the amount of reps that a rookie they'd like to have throughout training camp. So I think they're taking it a little bit more careful with him.
Yeah, I think he was a healthy scratch this week, though. I agree with you. But, man, Van Jefferson is bringing nothing to the game. The other thing is with the Steelers, I think Najee Harris has made it very clear to us that he's not a three-down back. I mean, Cordell Patterson had the same O-line. He's finding holes. I mean, Najee Harris is like a person who goes bowling and just throws the ball at the pin. He'll run up your back, but he cannot see a hole. And so, you know, we got to figure out what we're doing there. And at the end of the day, I still want to see what Russell Wilson can do. That's all I got for you tonight.
All right, Mr. Old School, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, Najee Harris struggled on Sunday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So much so that Zaire Franklin had some choice words, called him soft, and said that 84 ran harder, which, of course, is Cordarrelle Patterson. That tweet came on Sunday after the game. So, to me, you know, when you see something like that, when you see a player talking about another player, I think there's a lot of merit to that. You know, your best critics are your peers and yourself, no matter what you do. And for a peer of Najee Harris, who saw him on Sunday from the opposite side, call him soft? Yikes. To say Cordero Patterson ran harder? Yikes. That's not what you expect. That's not something that you need out of a guy that, you know, you thought maybe would be your three down back when you drafted him. And then all of a sudden, Jaylen Warren bursts on the scene. And now it's kind of a split backfield between the two of them, especially when Jaylen Warren's healthy. So Najee Harris got to step it up. Absolutely. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Cool with some showers tonight, low of 59. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And then at 9 o'clock, it's Stephen Thompson right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All righty. Thank you for sticking around. Jack Hillgrove with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan up until 10:35. Nightly sports call on KDK Plus with Richie Walsh and our own Andrew Filipponi. Also simulcast here on The Fan. That coming up at 10:35. So the Pitt football program is somewhere right now where it hasn't been since 2000. 4-0. Also somewhere it hasn't been ever, coming off of an undefeated non-conference schedule. Vibes are high for this Pitt program. The offense looks like it's one of the best in the country. Shout out to Cade Bell. But you're kind of going into a situation this week that for me as a Pitt fan has me concerned. Because you got to go to Chapel Hill. You got to take on the Tar Heels of North Carolina. And you got to go to a place that you've never won before. Pitt 0-7 all time at North Carolina, which means they haven't won there since Pitt joined the ACC and became a regular opponent on North Carolina's schedule. And that's also a place that Pitt hasn't won dating back to 1979. Dan Marino slinging the football. Three straight 11-1 seasons that started the 33-3 stretch for Pitt from 79 to 81. Pitt's lone loss in 79 was a 10-point defeat, 17-7 at North Carolina. Of course, that was long before my time and long before some of your guys' times. Some of you guys might remember that, obviously, but 0-7 all time on the road against North Carolina. I cite a game in 2016 against former Steelers quarterback Mitch Trubisky in the Tar Heels. They went on a walk-off touchdown pretty much to Bug Howard, goal line fade. And if you go back and watch that play, a legal formation was probably on display there. UNC had, I believe, five guys in the backfield. A play shouldn't have even counted. I was at that game. My father and I and my grandpap, we then drove from Chapel Hill to Philadelphia Saturday night. The Steelers get killed on Sunday against the Eagles. I believe that was 34-3. That was Carson Wentz's rookie year, if you remember that Steelers game. And in between both of those contests, we pulled into the hotel in Philly on Saturday night and get the news that Arnold Palmer passed away. So not a very good Pittsburgh sports weekend by any stretch of the imagination. So that's my memory of Pitt at UNC. And a good one comes 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago now, the overtime win at home against the Tar Heels. It started pouring down rain at Acrisure Stadium. As soon as pretty much overtime started, Pitt gets the ball, Lucas Kroll touchdown. Crazy game. And then, of course, on to a New Year's Six Bowl for the Panthers that year with Kenny Pickett. But North Carolina 3-2 coming off of two pretty bad losses, 21-20 against Duke. They found themselves up in that game, I believe 20-0. It was 20-0. Duke scored its first touchdown with 5:49 left in the third quarter and then ended up getting two more and beat them by one. And then before that, they paid James Madison $700,000 to go down to Chapel Hill and beat them by 20 while the Dukes scored 70. You look at it through the lens of, well, if James Madison can score 70, Pitt should score 100, but it's a tough place to play for the Panthers. They've never won there. We'll talk about that coming up with Stephen Thompson, Pitt beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Talk about that and more. And if you have any Pitt football takes or anything more on the Steelers, we'll get the phone lines back going again around 9:25 or so. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.